Hi. Welcome to Women Writing Men. This is episode 42. This is part two of When We Believed in Mermaids by Barbara O'Neill. Mariah is mouthing along to my words right now. It's not like we have a script. She's just predictive texting like what I'm going to say. Yeah, we're filming this intro in a weird order, so the way this flows might be a little wonky, but that's please okay. Forgive.
So 2 weeks ago, you heard about, what's their names, Mari/Josie, who was one woman, and Kit, who was her sister, and their mutual trauma they experienced as children.
Yep.
And Kit is falling in love with Javier.
Yep.
There's a boy named Dylan that they both loved as children.
Mm-hmm.
And Mari has been pretending to be dead. She has been found by Kit living in Auckland. It's been 15 years. And they just reunited.
Yep.
In last episode. That's where we ended. And so this episode, we are continuing on from there. How they reunite. How this story resolves. Will Kit fall in love with Javier all the way? Will they become sisters again?
Yep.
Will Simon forgive what's her face? Their names. Mari/Josie. Will Simon forgive her?
What's going to happen?
Trigger warning. I hope all of the stuff, it comes now.
Yeah.
I don't remember when it all happened.
I'll probably need to put it on the first episode as well.
Yeah.
Trigger warning for childhood sexual abuse.
Suicide,
childhood neglect. Just some sad topics.
Yes.
We're not getting deep into them. It's not like a hardcore mention of them. It's just letting you know that
happened.
They happen.
And we talk about it.
So, chapter 20, back to Josie. I wrote more of her boring domestic Sapphire House life. Then Josie has memories of discovering her dad cheating on her mom.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think Kit even knew about it.
No, she never did.
And so, yeah, the dad was just like sleeping with waitresses and various people that came around the restaurant because he was a lot older than the mom. And the mom kind of just had to take it, because what else could she do? She had two kids.
Yeah, how did the dad get Josie not to tell?
I don't know. I think
she just basically said that she didn't tell, but she would make everyone, she would figure out who dad was sleeping with and make their lives miserable.
Yeah, which was I think the dad was like, I'm going to beat you up if you
maybe
do that, if you tell your mom.
Or maybe kick out Dylan.
Yeah, that was it. I think it was kick out Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was also, at this point, I was very like, it's so interesting, the sibling dynamic of, like, what the difference a couple years makes in, like,
how they saw their lives,
whole perception of their parents and, like, everything going on. It's very wild. Like, two people living in the same house, you're like, yeah, they had the same experience, but they didn't.
Yeah. Nurture, man.
Yeah. Chapter 21, Kit goes to where, Josie lives.
Like, goes to her...
Her neighborhood. Yeah, she takes a ferry, she goes to her neighborhood.
And she sees her. They're just walking down the street.
Yeah, and they just meet.
Yeah.
And Josie's like, oh my god, hey.
And they hug, and then Josie's like, my family's coming.
Yeah.
They don't know about you.
Pretend. Pretend to be my friend.
And we'll talk later.
Yeah. And so Kit pretends to be her friend. She meets Josie's kids, and Josie's daughter Sarah is like just like Kit. Like, yeah. They have the same hair.
They
look the same.
And she's the same personality wise as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. And so Simon is a little weirded out by this. Like, he's like, oh, okay, that's your friend from when you were kids.
Yeah.
And he like gets it, but he also is like, it's so weird how she looks exactly like our daughter.
And doesn't he say too, because she's like, oh, it's my friend from when I lived in Vancouver Island. And then
yeah.
Kit clocks it and was like, that was a dream that the three of them would envision.
Yeah.
That one day they would leave.
And they'd have better parents who were from Vancouver yeah. Island.
And they envisioned this whole other life. And she's yeah. like, she has this moment where she's like, it's kind of sweet that
she created that life. Living that life. Yeah. And then Kit also, their son Leo is named after the dad. And Kit's like, that's crazy because...
She hated dad.
And, like, they used to fight all the time. And so Kit never really understood why they fought all the time. But, yeah, she also thinks about how, like, one time the dad hit Josie. And then Dylan and the dad had, like, a full-on fist fight.
Yeah.
And then Dylan ran away.
Yeah.
And Kit's like, that was pretty crazy, hey. Chapter 22,
And they're going to go for dinner.
Yeah.
She invited her
She
over.
Invited Kit to have dinner with her like, family. The family. Yeah, which is a bold move, but...
Very bold.
Yeah.
Do they agree to meet up first before
no.
the dinner? The dinner's the first
the
thing.
The dinner's the thing.
Okay.
Which is just... It was such... The meeting was very weird to me. Like, I felt like it... I imagined it more dramatic, and then
it was
just
so not.
Normal.
But it's kind of an interesting thing, because...
What would you do?
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Like, would it be more dramatic than that?
I know. It's so weird, because, like, you imagine someone, like, coming back from the dead, that it would be, like, this insane dramatic thing. But then it's... If it is someone you've known your whole life, like, wouldn't it also just kind of feel like a reunion
yeah.
with someone you've always known?
Yeah.
Like, it's very weird to imagine. I think part of it is, like, Kit knew... Josie was alive. Like,
yes.
It wasn't, like, the whole shock of it.
Of, like, literally, by chance, bumping into your sister.
Your sister, who you thought was dead.
Yeah.
Like,
and obviously, Josie knew that Kit was alive.
Yeah, but. So, like, but yeah, it just, it was weird. It was weird shock. I don't know, like, the shock level seemed dampened mm-hmm. compared to what I expected. But yeah, so then Josie goes home, and she's, like, prepping for dinner. And she's thinking about how she used to watch Dylan have sex.
Through a hole in their room.
Yeah. Like, she could just see through. And she drank and smoked a lot because she was dealing with, you know, fallout from the sexual assault. And then she ended up telling Dylan about Billy when she was 14, I think.
Okay.
And she was, like, super drunk and super high, and she told him.
Well, was she high?
Because
this is what I can't remember exactly the
scenario
to get to the high, but he gave her the weed.
Yeah.
She hadn't done weed before.
No, and he did it a lot, but then.
And then he gave it to her for the reason for her to forget her trauma.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so did he actually, like, it was not, like, that was, like, Dylan's worst move. It's not a good move, but.
Well, yeah, that was why he gave her weed when she was 14 because she told him about this and
yes.
then he was like, here.
So she wasn't high, she was actually...
Oh, she was drunk.
And then he was like, I'll help you forget.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I've given you a new vice. Yeah. And she has a crush on Dylan,
yeah.
obviously, as evidenced by her watching him have sex. And Mari, she like... Dinner must be the next day, actually. Because Mari like has sex with Simon.
Yeah, because she's thinking this might be the last time because
yeah.
he's about to
find out that I've been lying to him.
And his, like, he really values, like, trust and loyalty.
And honesty.
And he's like, she's like, this might be it.
This might be it for me, yeah. And he keeps being like, is there anything you want to tell me? And she's like, nope. Chapter 23. My one problem with this book is I was like, I feel like there isn't really a chance that there isn't a happy ending here. And I didn't know how I felt about that. Like, I was very compelled by the whole story, but I was just like, it's gonna end well. And so I'm not really like at this point, I wasn't like, oh, I gotta keep reading. Cause I was just like, it's gonna be fine.
I understand. Cause there's a couple other books that you're gonna read where I cried the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this can't be going anywhere good.
But this one I knew. Like it.
But it's an interesting one because it started so badly.
Yeah.
It was almost like she was like, I'm gonna reverse this
yeah
story and say, let's start bad and get to good mm-hmm. versus a lot of stories that start good,
go bad, kind of get a little bit better.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there, this was just like...
It was up from...
From the beginning.
Yeah.
But I understand why it wouldn't be as motivating to keep reading if you just know.
Yeah, yeah, because...
Happy.
Because Kit just has like a cry with Javier about like, I found my sister. I met her daughter. Her daughter looks just like me.
What,
like,
am I going to do?
Yeah, what is this?
And he invites her him to dinner.
Yeah, she does.
And he's going to come, sweet little man.
He's so sweet. He's so supportive of her on her weird journey that she's on.
Do we know his little backstory yet?
No.
Like the reason why he came to Spain?
Oh, I don't know. I might not have written it down. But he came because...
His friend killed himself.
Yeah. And so he's like on a bit, he's like been having trouble.
Yeah, like his friend killed himself a month ago and he's just like, I needed to get away and like,
get out of routine,
get out of there.
And so that's why this Miguel friend invited him to New Zealand and he's like, get out.
The only reason why I say this is because he was really perfect.
He really was.
Like, I was like trying to find red flags, and I guess he was divorced, so you have to like look into why did you get divorced, like,
but he was just young, and yeah, they had a very passionate relationship, but they weren't really good for each other.
No, and then they just got married, and then I was like, okay, so he's like mourning his friend, but even that is like a really good thing,
like, yeah, he's so, just like he's not like mourning him in a red flaggy way.
No,
he's
was like mourning his friend, truthfully.
Yeah, he's just working through
it. And I was like, what's wrong with Javier? Like, you're too perfect.
Yeah.
But not in a way that I was like...
It wasn't bothersome. No,
not in a way where I was like, at the end of this book, if you end up together, you know it's not going to last kind of thing.
Because like, he's too perfect. Like, yeah. He was just perfect for her, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, he was so sweet. So Josie takes Kit to Sapphire House, and she's like, look at my nice house that I live in. And then,
so they do meet up before.
They're all together. I don't know. I wrote Kit yells at her. So maybe they do meet up before.
I think they meet up before.
Okay. And then Kit yells at her.
They have to have.
And then, yeah. And then Josie explains how she ended up in New Zealand.
The whole thing about the train and the...
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Which we already talked about.
Yeah. And then Kit, this part, actually, favorite line. Ready? Kit asks, how did you get so bad? And Josie's like, a day at a time, like in regards to her alcoholism and everything. Mm. And it just made me think like a lot about A, how things get so bad, but then that's also how things you can get out of it is a day at a time. And you know, it's been 15 years since Josie died, and look at how good her life is.
It is an interesting thing too. I don't remember if it's something that Kit felt, but it was interesting to contrast their lives and see.
Like Kit was stuck. Like
Kit was stuck.
She couldn't do anything.
And did she look at Mari and go, like, and have that, now have that jealousy of, like, you killed off yourself,
and you
now are thriving and have a perfect relationship, have a perfect family, are living out your dream, and here I am.
Still haunted and, like...
Yeah. And so it was interesting because, yes, Kit was protected from so much of it, but then you start to see...
She wasn't,
and it's still...
haunting her. And that was kind of like my biggest problem with this story, is that like contrast between Josie's life and Kit's and like their trajectories. I don't know, we can talk about it more after.
Okay.
But so yeah, they like Kit yells at her when they clearly haven't gone to dinner yet. And then Kit's still gonna come to dinner though.
Yeah.
And I was like, dinner's gonna be weird because Kit just got really mad at you.
And also like that this guy has to just pretend like, I feel like it's, I felt like it was such a weird thing that she was like, Javier, you have to pretend
to be my boyfriend. I'm pretending to be someone else.
And my sister is pretending to be someone she's not. Like, what a thing for him to just be like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. 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 So chapter 25, Mari remembers when Dylan got into a serious motorcycle accident, which was
right after the fight with Dad.
Yeah. So he ran away and then got into this crazy motorcycle accident, and they couldn't get a hold of him
for days.
So then they like,
doesn't the hospital eventually call them?
Maybe.
I think the hospital somehow gets a hold of Mom.
Yeah.
And then Mom has to like lie about who he is.
Yeah. And then so they go see him in the hospital, and he's like really beat up, like he's not doing good.
Yeah. From the motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
Like severely not doing well. Like once he comes home, he can't walk or anything.
And so after the motorcycle accident, like, Josie's older at this point. She's, whatever, like, 15 or something, or 16.
It's getting pretty close.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And she, like, really wants Dylan. Like, she's like, I am so into you.
Yeah.
Like, please be with me.
Yeah.
But he's, like, still, he's trying to be, I don't know,
a brother figure.
Yeah, like, he doesn't want... Like, he knows what's happened to her.
And I think he's 20 now, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he's old enough to know.
Why did Mom have to lie about who he was then? Because I'm pretty sure he's an adult. Because then he has that party.
Yeah, and he's, like, 20 at that
point. Yeah. And and then he's an adult, and his friend...
Is being creepy.
And he's like, stop being creepy. She's a kid.
Yeah.
Which made me think he's an adult.
Yeah.
I don't understand the timeline.
I know. I'm a little confused about it, too. He's either between 18 to 20, and she's, like, 15, 16. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a motorcycle accident. he's like super injured, and then everyone else goes away.
And he's also very depressed.
He's very depressed, which it's implied the motorcycle accident was him attempting to kill himself.
Yes.
And they're like, that's not the first time he's tried.
Who figured that out, that he was trying to kill himself? Was it Josie or Kit? Because remember, one of them knew, and the other one, like, as adults, she...
Josie didn't know.
So it was Kit, who was like, clearly
he was not doing good.
And she's telling Josie this, and Josie's like, what?
Yeah. So, like, at the time, Josie's like, oh, he was in a terrible accident. He just doesn't want to come out of his room.
Yeah.
And so she, like...
So she tries really hard. Doesn't she, like, deprive him of food and is like, you can have food when you come downstairs?
Actually, I think she deprives him of, like, the painkillers he's on.
That's right. I knew she deprived him of something.
Yeah, she takes his painkillers and then he, like, drags himself downstairs.
Yeah.
Like, he literally can't walk and he comes down to get them.
But then he starts to, like, slowly recover.
Yeah, he's, like, slowly recovering. He's, like, doing more stuff. But, yeah, the parents are still away. Kit is off at a science camp or something. Yeah. And then... Josie gets him really high, and then they sleep together, which he was not in a good place, so it was not ideal.
No, it was sad. It was honestly a very sad chapter.
Yeah, and, like, Josie is looking back on it with remorse. Like, yeah. She's not like, yeah, that was great.
No.
But you understand why she did it, too. Like, she was so in love with him. Chapter 26?
Sure.
Kit lays in a tree and thinks about what she's going to do about Josie.
In a tree or, like, on the bottom of a tree?
It's like, there's, like, a root or something that she's, like, laying in.
I know that What's-His-Face told her about this place. Javier told her about this in the beginning of the book. And it was like, you should go check this place out.
Whoa, how did you know that?
I remember. Because when she went to check out the place, I was like, oh.
That's the place Javier told her. Yeah. Yeah, so while she's laying in the tree, she forgives her mother. She's just like, my mom's really trying with my cat. Yeah. I should, be nicer.
Nicer. Yeah, because she kind of has realized that even though her mom has done all the work, she is still, like, holding her mom at arm's length.
Mm-hmm.
And has been like, wait, my mom's been, like,
really trying. Really
trying and trying to...
Yeah, like, to prove to me that she can be a mom.
A mom. And I need to let her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sweet.
Yeah. And then her and Javier go to dinner. And Kit and Sarah are really cute together. Like, Sarah goes and shows Kit her
all
experiments.
All her little experiments, which Kit used to do.
And they're very cute.
Yeah.
And then switching to Josie, POV.
During the dinner still, right?
Yeah. So Josie tells Simon, while Kit is there, like, who Kit is. And, like, she's like, yeah, I've been lying to you all this time. So that's not ideal. and I was like, yeah, that's super awkward. And yeah, so Simon is mad, and it, like, they have a brief conversation about it, like, Josie and Simon. Like, Simon's furious, obviously, and Josie's like, I guess I gotta go. And so she
packs a bag,
and she's like, I'm gonna go surfing with Kit for a couple days.
Yeah.
And you can think about things and let me know. And I, like, this, I was a little like, he's gonna forgive her. Like, and even if she doesn't, I don't really care if she's married to Simon. Like,
I didn't feel a very strong connection to Simon.
No, he was fine.
Yeah.
I understood why she needed him, but I wasn't in love with him.
No. If he's not being ranked, no yeah. way in my world.
No.
It's Javier and Dylan.
Yeah.
My boys.
Yeah. Yeah. So chapter 28, Kit, you know, she's just come off of this very weird dinner, and she goes to finally see Javier sing. And he, like, confesses his feelings to her.
In Spanish. So, like, Miguel's yeah. wife is, like, translating.
Translating is very sweet.
And she's, like, has this moment of, like...
Oh, he's, like, in love with me.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a fling for him.
Yeah. I really liked that scene. And her, like, realizing the power of his music, like...
Yeah. No, and then he, like... So he confesses to her after, too. Like, they're, like, in bed together or something. And I wrote his line because it was so cute. He was like, you think I'm only flirting when I say you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, but I am not. And he's like so like earnest about it. It was just like, oh, I was like, this is such a good confession, which is crazy because I hate them. Like, I hate like the long-winded ones. And his was like long, but he just was like, I really care about you. Like, yeah. This is real for me.
It just reminds me of What's-His-Face, Whitaker.
Yeah.
Like, he could say anything, and you were like, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, Javier like, was amazing.
Barbara O'Neill did a great job making him attractive.
Chapter 29. So, Simon and the kids are at their other house. Mari's at Sapphire House. She thinks about the sister who lived all alone at Sapphire House. This is where I was like, what on earth is Sapphire House for? What is this subplot doing for us?
This is something I said. I was like, there's all these like symbols. And I was like, this totally feels like a book that a grade 11 English teacher needs to read and goes, why Sapphire House?
I know. And you're supposed to know and care. And like,
and come up with like, what does it symbolize?
She is the sister who is like punishing herself and whatever. And she's like thinking about like, why did she live by herself here for
because
so
she
long?
Lived by herself. She lived in a very small part of the house.
Not the whole thing.
Which she said, she assumes this based off of, she renovated like three rooms.
Yeah, and not the rest.
And not the rest. So she's like, clearly she's only using these three and the rest are like a mausoleum of the past. So she's like, did sister kill her and then like have this regret?
Yeah.
And didn't want to like use the rest of her home?
Yeah, it was so like, I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about the resolution to the, I know you guys are desperate to know the resolution.
What happened to Veronica?
Yeah. So then Josie thinks about on the day of the earthquake, where her and her mom were, is Josie was getting an abortion.
Yes, because she had a baby with Dylan.
Yep.
So she told mom. Mom took her to get an abortion. Mm-hmm. The earthquake happened.
On that day.
And she got injured during the earthquake.
Yeah, and so
and
then
had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, because she needed stitches for that scar on her head. Yeah.
So and they couldn't get a hold of anyone back home because back home was gone.
Yeah, and so they had to do that, and that's why they weren't there for Kit. And it was just...
Can you imagine what it'd feel like being Kit knowing, like, dad's dead down there and I have nowhere to go?
Yeah. It was insane. It was insane, too, because, like, you see it from Josie's perspective. And, like, Josie and the mom were like, what do we do? We can't get a hold of anyone at home. Like, we can't call the dad. The dad's not answering. Kit's not answering. Like,
see, this gives us a bit of an insight into the timeline, because they didn't have cell phones.
They didn't. I know they didn't. I figured that out a long time ago. I don't want to talk about the timeline.
So they're
Mariah.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so, yeah, it's, I don't know. This was such a sad, unfortunate thing. The whole, like, the fact that she was getting the abortion at all, because Dylan was already gone at this point.
Yes. Do we find that out yet?
Well, we know that because we know when the earthquake hit, Dylan was already gone.
Right.
So it was just so sad. In lighter news, we're back to a Kit chapter, and she calls Bob, like, Josie says, Bob's your uncle, and Kit's like, oh, that's such weird New Zealand slang. And I was like, excuse me, as the Canadian Vancouver Island person that you're claiming to be, it's perfectly normal.
Who says that Josie says Bob's your uncle?
Yeah, and Kit's like, oh, that's your crazy New Zealand slang.
But do you think that that's because it's a part of the Commonwealth?
I don't know. I have no idea where Bob's your uncle comes from, but it's a thing here in the West Coast of BC.
I've heard it before.
Yeah. And apparently it's also a New Zealand
but
thing.
But it's not a California thing.
It's not a California thing, though, okay. Apparently. But yeah, it's... So Kit and Josie are, like, going surfing because, you know, Josie can't go home. And Kit... It's just like, guess we'll hang
and
out.
And they go to like the best place.
Yeah, and they have a nice time. But like, Josie like talks to Kit about her love life. Like, she's just like, so Javier is like really into you.
Yeah, she's like, and I get like further solidifying, like he is like, he sees you as like.
The sun and moon. Like, he's so in love with you.
And like, what's her face could tell just from that one dinner.
And I was like laughing because I was like, this is such a weird conversation for them to be having. Like. Like, just to be picking up like that.
That.
About, like, oh, let's talk about your love life.
Which like, you get, because, like, when you lived away, you would just pick up.
Yeah, you just pick up, but it's
you
so...
You didn't pretend to be dead.
Yeah! It's so weird in this context.
You
and,
just
like,
lived far away.
Yeah, and, like, Kit feels, like, she refers to that, but it's so, like, it's so interesting because I think this is probably very realistic. Like, you would just end up talking about normal
things. What's going
on?
Yeah.
And, like, even though it's so weird and it seems wrong.
And they do talk about some other things because, like, they talk about their mom and Josie's, like, I can't forgive her. And another thing that Josie kept having in her thoughts throughout the whole book was she really cannot forgive her mother with the sole reason, especially once she had children and was like,
how could you have left me?
And you must not have loved me because I had these children and I would do anything for them. Mm-hmm. And look what you did for me.
Yeah. Cause now Josie tells Kit, about what happened with Billy and that she was sexually assaulted at 9 years old. And the night the first night it happened, like it happened a couple times. But the first night it happened was that night that
they were supposed to all go sleeping at the beach.
And then
Josie never came.
And then Dylan taught Kit how to surf that morning. And that's why Josie was so upset.
Yes.
And it was very sad.
Yes.
But then the weird thing is that they call the mom after that.
And she just cries with her mom.
Yeah. And she's really happy to see her mom and be with her. And so, I don't know. It's so...
That was, I would
say... The resolutions are weird.
The resolutions, and some of them were too quick for me.
Yeah.
Because she has, she's had all this pent-up anger and resentment towards her mom, and,
Yeah.
And now...
She's so tearful, and, I get to be with my mom, and then...
Yeah. And they pretty quickly, plan for mom to come visit, and then I'm like, okay, guess you're over it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was weird. Chapter 31. Josie is, there's something... I still need to
tell you
about, and so,
and she, Kit doesn't really want to know.
Yeah.
Kit's like, do we really need to know?
Yeah. And Josie's like, yeah. We gotta tell you. We gotta tell you all the horrible things. And she's like, I was getting an abortion. It was Dylan's baby. And she's like, that's why he ended up killing himself. Cause he did successfully kill himself in the end.
He drowns himself.
Yeah.
He never knew about the baby, but drowns himself just out of the shame and regret of sleeping with
Josie.
Yeah.
And
which isn't really true, because he was trying to kill himself all the time.
Yeah.
But she really sees it
as that as pushed that him pushed over.
Him over.
And, that's the thing. With the context of he tried a couple times before that, it's not really Josie's fault. That was the direction he had chosen.
The motorcycle very easily could have killed him. Yeah. It was just, miraculous that he didn't die from that one. Because it's different. Because, they talk about suicide. This is really a trigger warning episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
They talk about suicides in terms of, there are people who talk about wanting to kill themselves but never try. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who do try. And he tried. And they talk about it, the motorcycle was not
the first
time.
Yeah.
And that... the drowning was then the second time and he was successful. It was
there was a couple times before that.
Yeah.
And so...
So that's when Kit in that moment is like, it wasn't you. He's been killing...
He tried,
the motorcycle was him trying too and Josie's like, what?
Yeah, but then...
But she also is really mad at her.
Yeah, Josie is like... Stuff. Josie's like, he never spoke to me after we had sex. He didn't talk to her again. And Kit was like, you deserved it. Which is a crazy harsh thing to say.
Yes.
But then the other thing that Kit says is she's like, if you had told me, I would have protected you. Which sounds weird, but she's like, if you had relied on me back then, I would have done something to help you. It's very complicated feelings at this point.
Yeah.
About past things.
But also not crazy that they're complicated.
Yeah. But again...
Because, she loves Dylan, she loves Josie.
Yeah.
It wasn't she didn't love Josie. They loved each other growing up.
Yeah. And so, Josie, never told... I don't know. I don't feel like there was a good resolution of these feelings. Which maybe that's, normal, because there couldn't have been. But... So then, chapter 32. Kit thinks she remembers when she found Dylan's body. Did you cry here? This is where I cried.
I don't remember if I cried at all. But that was awful.
It was so... I cried here.
This is one thing I wasn't... Maybe she was dreaming about it. Because throughout the book, Kit kept talking about Dylan drowning. And she was on the beach with the dog. Mm-hmm. But that was not when he actually drowned. Because she didn't see him drown.
No.
She found his body. So what in the world was she talking about when she was...
I think she was probably just
dreaming about it? I was so confused about these other mentions of Dylan drowning and the dog barking. Because the dog died way before Dylan died.
Yeah.
So I was what with this dog Dylan and the dog? Because there was a dog, guys. It was their pet.
Yeah, Kay. I think Kay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Little, she like mentioned it multiple times about seeing Dylan drown and a dog barking.
Yeah.
So I knew he drowned, and then he actually did drown, and I was like, but the dog's dead. So anyways, he drowned.
It must have been visions, like her imagining it
yeah.
or something. Anyway, so.
So they she goes to the beach.
She goes to the beach, and it was 2 weeks before the earthquake. She was 13, so that adds.
What's her face? Josie, 15, when this happens.
So she found Dylan's body, and he's just laying there, and Kit, like, knew it was going to happen kind of thing. She knew he was dead, and she didn't want to go tell anyone, because then
it would be real.
It would be real. And so she just sat there with the body, and she was like, you made my life better.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry now thinking about it. Oh, it was so sad.
It was very sad.
Yeah, so then chapter 33, Josie makes up with Simon.
I didn't like that. It was one of my, I didn't have very many things that I wrote down, but I was like, because he's so furious, and he's like, we're getting a divorce, we're done. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, you're going to throw away 15 years, and then he's like, oh, okay, no.
Like, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, no, she's like, you don't want to throw away 15 years. Also, I've always been honest with you.
About everything else, so like, forgive me for this one big thing.
And he's like, okay.
And then he's like, okay, and then they're literally fine.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's exactly how I knew this was going to happen. So
that was my biggest issue with this book, because I was like, if he's going to be literally fine, don't make him be so angry about it.
I know.
Because what's the point of that tiny, tiny little conflict for a few chapters that's literally resolved?
Yeah. And then I wrote, there better be a fucking point to this Sapphire House mystery. Spoiler.
There was not. I mean, we find out what happens, but I don't feel
but
like
it, I don't
a
feel
point.
Like it. Yeah. I don't feel like it was. Anyway, back to Kit. She has sex with Javier, and then she leaves. Like, she is very distressed, and so she's like, I'm running
done.
Away.
Yeah.
And so she gets on a plane, and she's like, I'm out. And Javier is like, no, you love me. Like, we should be together. This should be more
and
than
she's
this.
She's like, no, it was just a vacation.
It was just a vacation.
Let me go!
I need to get back to my cat. I need to get back home. Work. I'm done Josie. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And then chapter 35, 1 month later, Kit has not been doing well.
Basically, all she does is go to work and then surf and then go home. And
yeah, which is what she did before. But
but
she's really not doing well now.
Yeah.
And then Josie shows up with her family, with Simon and the kids.
And Javier.
And mom.
Mom
and then
staged an intervention.
Yeah, and they have a love intervention is what they call it.
Yeah.
And I wrote, I don't love this. Because I was not very into it. Like, I get why it happened, but it was very, I don't know. They all are like, we abandoned you and we're not going to abandon you again and we're going to show up for you, which is good. I'm mm-hmm. glad they had that, you know, grand show for her. But this is the dumbest line. Simon is like, we are your family and you can count on us. And I was like, why the hell did Simon have that line? It was so weird. Like, I was like, Simon, what are you even doing here?
It's true.
And now, everyone, get ready. The resolution to the Sapphire House plot. What happened to Veronica?
She was murdered.
She was murdered by George.
Her husband.
It was not her husband. It was the guy. He was married to somebody else. But the sister had a thing with George. And so then the sister told George that Veronica had a thing with somebody else, so then George jealously killed Veronica, and then the sister just mourned it and felt bad about it, but she also helped cover it up for George.
Yeah.
And so he didn't get in trouble because she loved him. And I was like, what the actual fuck was that?
Well, there was some jealousy, which I'm thinking themes.
You're thinking
I'm trying to
the
think.
English teacher themes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sisters with jealousy.
Jealousy over the attentions of a man.
Of a man.
I just don't.
It's too far. Because then, like, George kills one of them.
That's not correct, you know? Like, that's, unless you're like, Dylan inadvertently killed Josie.
Well, that's where I was kind of going. Because, like, I mean, she talks about it. Kit talks about it. If Dylan knew what was happening to you, why didn't he tell anybody? He was more mature. He was older.
He should have done
something. And she told him, please don't tell anybody. But that goes out the window when what happened to her.
Yeah, happens.
Yeah. But I mean, would him have told someone
have done anything
to cure her, or would Billy just have paid for his crimes?
It's like, Kit is like, I understand why Dylan didn't say anything, because his loyalty to Josie was like greater than his ability to do justice to anything, you know?
Sister.
What?
What you just said is exactly why Sister let George go free, because his loyalty to George
was greater than her love or her justice-ness.
Yeah. Mm. Like, you were saying that, and I just thought in my head, all those things you could apply to Sister, and it's the same thing. So the Sister is Dylan.
The English teacher would be proud.
Sister is Dylan and Kit. Ow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's George? I don't know.
Who is George? Yeah, so then there's an epilogue where Josie and Kit go surfing together, and I did like... Near the end, one of the last lines is, I am alive, I am human, I am loved. Mm. And that was nice. Yeah. That was a good ending. Yeah, so overall, some of the problems I had with it is that issue of, like, Josie didn't have to pay for anything. It didn't seem like there was a cost to her, you know, dying that she had to pay. Like, Kit paid the price for what Josie did.
Yeah. Especially because Simon, like, her price would have been the loss of her family, and that was at risk for, like, 2 days.
Yeah, and it wasn't a problem. And, like, the thing is, with a healthy, happy family, you shouldn't risk, you know, lying shouldn't necessarily mean that your family
is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing, like, I thought, what if Kit had never come to New Zealand, would Mari/Josie... just have lived her life.
She would have just had a good life. And that's where, like, she didn't have to do anything. Like, she just got her stuff resolved by Kit doing all the work.
Yes, I agree. Because I'm like, her trauma wasn't resolved.
And she never would have resolved it.
And she never would have resolved it. But her life would have been fine.
Anyways.
Either way.
Yeah. So, like, it...
there just wasn't stake in the game for her.
Yeah.
Like it was for Kit.
Yeah, like, Kit was going to have a miserable life if she didn't resolve it.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, went out there and she fixed it. And so I feel like you could argue that Josie had to overcome, like, she had to tell Kit everything, and that was her overcoming her things, and so she did have to do some work, but it still doesn't feel like there was any, it didn't feel super good, the resolution at the end.
Yeah.
That everything was great and fine.
Another thing that I thought was interesting was, I don't actually think I put it in here, but it's a complaint that we've had so often that people are, like, using their relationship to heal themselves, which I wouldn't say that's exactly what Kit did, but Javier sure helped.
Yeah, he was. That was the weird thing.
But I wasn't bothered by it.
But it was there.
But it was very much there. More in, he was, you know, let's talk about it. Let get it out there. Tell me what went on. And, like, giving her that space to, like, experience her life.
I found it, like, I found the way the author treated the men in this book interesting. You know, if we're talking about women writing men.
Yeah.
It did feel like a lot of the men were, like, Dylan was a huge savior figure. And, you know, even though he was flawed and stuff. And so I had, like, a weird time with it as far as, like... because I think this book is technically classed as, like, women's fiction.
Yeah.
And so it... obviously, these are very strong female characters. But the men were still classed as, like, saviors.
Yeah.
You know? And they were doing a lot of the lifting there. And, like, they weren't... they didn't... like, the women didn't have to do anything for the men's stuff. You know? Like, they didn't fix the boys, but the boys helped fix them.
No.
And I didn't love that the boys' role in fixing.
There was a little bit of, you could argue that Mom fixed Dylan a little bit just by
giving him home,
like, Mom really loved Dylan like he was a son as well.
Yeah.
In her alcoholic state.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the closest I could say where a woman saved a man.
Yeah. So there was a weirdness there that I found as far as, like, the treatment of men, just, like, they felt a little bit almost objectified into, like, men are good and perfect and you should love them no matter what. But women, you have to like fight a little harder to love them.
Also, this was never explained. Why in the world did Josie name the kid Leo?
Yeah, her dad was still terrible. Yeah. I think...
like, they, her and her dad never, like, had a resolution.
No, they did not. But Josie did have a good experience with her dad, like, in the beginning. Like, when she was young, she liked being in the kitchen with him.
Yeah, thought it was odd.
Yeah. Yeah, there were just some odd choices. I feel like it didn't... like, this kind of just felt... ended up feeling like, read about this trauma. It's a good story because there's a lot of trauma in it. And it's like, is it... because I don't feel like... I don't know. I don't know if they got resolution the way I want. Like, yeah, I don't know if it was a satisfying resolution.
Yeah. I would say I was very, very content about the story until, like, chapter 30, 31. Like, when we started to get to the end and going, this book could have been, like, another... add an extra 5 chapters to properly resolve this.
Yeah, because it didn't, like... and that was the thing. If you're going to introduce that much trauma, you have to be prepared to take it all on, you know? Like, the resolution can't be, like...
Now we know about the trauma. We'll forgive everything. Love intervention. Everyone's happy.
And we're good. Because it... and, you know, you could argue that it's going to keep going and they'll get better and better. But, like, yeah, I feel like in the same... that one day at a time kind of thing of, like, how did it get so bad? I think you also have to go the other way and be like, how is it going to get good again?
And you don't have to go all the way.
But you have to show us...
we didn't go far enough.
Yeah, you have to show us, like, the one day at a time of it undoing.
Yeah. A few other things from the last couple chapters that I wrote, because those are the only chapters I could remember in great detail. One was that Kit... I really liked this. Like, she's reflecting on all the things that Dylan did and was like, Dylan saved us, but simultaneously also kind of destroyed my sister. She was like, how do I grapple with who he is? And then she says, I understand why Kit doesn't know whether to see him as a hero or a villain, and her conclusion that he was both and that we can all be both depending on...
yeah, what we, like, our actions.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's not like a...
a hardened, yeah, like, he did this, therefore he's bad. He did this, therefore he's good.
And then, what's his butt? Javier talks about Alma Gemela. Mm-hmm. I went back to find it because I really liked it, which is like the Spanish words for twin souls. He's like, there's no such thing as soulmates in Spanish, but in Spanish there's twin souls and you don't just have one.
You have many.
You have many, and your sister is one of your twin souls and Dylan was one of your twin souls.
Aww.
And
I'm one of your twin souls.
And Sarah is one of your twin souls.
Yeah.
Because of, like, that just immediate connection he had. And I was like, that's so cute. I like twin souls better than soulmates.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my comments are about what's-his-face, Javier. Mm-hmm. Which, who are we ranking? Because in my head, I was doing Javier.
I think it will have to be Javier because he was so romantically, like, the lead, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Dylan was amazing, but he was also really not doing good.
Yes.
Are you ready to rank Javier, whatever, however we pronounce
it. So a couple of my things that I put in here is I always hoped that he was going to be in her chapters because sometimes he wasn't. And then I was like,
I know, he made it better.
He
made it better when he was there.
Yeah. I also was like, also starting to put my brain into like, where would I put him? So what did I say? I really liked him though. He was very perfect. He fell in love with her at first sight, shows her how to love. He is escaping Madrid. Oh yeah. The thing about... so he does have his own stuff going on, which was something I was literally trying to find anything, and I was like, this is something we've had in the past where the main man is just existing, and he literally has nothing
else going on in his life. And he had a whole life
going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't the focus of the story, so we got snippets.
But it wasn't like...
He wasn't trying to overcome his crap. We were just, you know, finding out he was divorced, his friend died, he's got Miguel, his buddy... like, he's got friends, he's got a career.
Yeah, he's got, like, a lot.
He's a full...
human.
Human.
Yeah.
She also doesn't like... oh, here is the one thing that was a flaw, and I was... that she points out, because he isn't into the things she's into. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't surf. He wasn't into hiking. I think she liked hiking or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that's his flaw.
Yeah.
And it's totally a manageable
flaw.
It's
100% reasonable. Yeah.
And you can still marry a man that does not have the same interests as you and be completely content for
like
the rest
of your
days.
He likes reading. He can just sit on the beach and read while she surfs. They can have a great time together.
Yeah. So I was like, here's his flaw. Yeah. Here's his little flag. It's not even a red flag. That is not a red flag, listeners.
Not.
If the man you're interested in does not have the same interests as you, it's fine.
It's fine.
You can work around that.
Yeah. It actually enhances both of your lives because then you end up like growing more as a person.
Okay. So then I said he was way more attractive than Rysand.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of some of these guys. Like, where would I put him? He's more attractive than Will Grayson.
Yep.
By far.
That immediately puts him in the top three.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I can't believe Will Grayson is number four.
And now then it starts to get a little blurry. But I did say, and I said, I think he had that sex appeal, which some people in our top three didn't really have. They were just like really sweet, some of them. Mm-hmm. And he was very supportive of her. Like, he was such a good partner.
Yeah.
And he had no red flags. But I could literally think of none.
Yep.
And some of the people in the top three, like our number one, had some pretty major red flags.
Okay. Like, just because we thought he might have murdered her parents briefly. He didn't.
He murdered a lot of other people.
It's fine.
But do we think he's more attractive than Whitaker?
Okay. I like...
Like, on paper... He's literally perfect.
I would put him above Callum.
Okay.
You'll accept that?
I'll accept that.
Okay.
Pierrot.
Pierrot was so... Like, Pierrot got more page time and he was so tragic. He is exactly, like, my baby as far as, like what I am personally into is, like, that he was so good. So I would put him under Pierrot.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't put him above Whitaker.
Okay.
So I would have either put him...
Above or below Pierrot. Okay.
Because Whitaker was just like...
So unless you can make a very good case for why he should go above Pierrot. Like, Pierrot did die of a drug overdose in an alley. He was not doing well. But, like, that's the thing. Like, I love a tragic boy.
Yeah.
And Javier was great, but he was not that level of tragic. He had his shit together.
Yeah, he definitely did. Oh, it's so hard. Because if I'm going back to just the pure basis of the question... Who was more attractive? Mm-hmm. I would say Javier.
Yeah. I love, like, the thing is, I love Pierrot on a, like, I love you level.
Yes.
Whereas Javier, I was like, I love you for her. Yes. I don't love you for me.
No. I mean, I'm pretty fine with putting him below Pierrot.
Okay. We'll put him below Pierrot then.
I also just want to say one more of my comments.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand, but it was really cute. So, at the very end of the book, also, we find out Javier has given her two nicknames, and he calls them they're Spanish names.
Yeah.
So she finally is like, what do those mean? And he says it means kitten and My Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. which are the two nicknames that Dylan, like, used for her.
Yeah.
And he, like, also decided that those would be her nicknames, and I was like, okay. So it's like, I thought it was really cute, but I also was like, why?
What a crazy coincidence. I know.
We also never talked about the significance of mermaids, which feels like it should have been important, but we didn't.
I don't feel like talking about it. It was just like when they were younger, they both like believed because they lived on the ocean.
And their mom did cute things for them.
Yeah, she like hid treasure and like was like, there's mermaids.
But why does that matter? I don't really feel like it matters.
Well, it was like it matters the title of the book in terms of like, the whole book is about the time when they believed in mermaids and like how the significance of that time. And then now they're back. And...
Okay. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to have to do split this. So
thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening
to part two.
Part two as well. Cause we definitely planned for this to be two parts. Check us out on Instagram. Look us up on Patreon if you feel like it. Leave a comment or review or something. Let us know that you're out there. We don't actually believe that anyone but us listens to this. Thank you. That's all. Bye.
Bye.